Good afternoon. I hope you're glad to be in God's house this afternoon. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're going to listen to His Word. And hopefully today we're going to learn, or start learning, if we have not learned this, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, how we may become doers of God's precious Word. Let's turn to the book of James. In our study there, and we're getting towards the end of the first chapter. One more sermon after this, Lord willing, as we close out the section on this first chapter, which has quite a few different subjects. But as we've seen, all connected and all coming down to this, doers of the Word of God. James 1, and we're just going to read verses 22 to 25, which is our study this afternoon. Hear now the word of God. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We've seen that the believer has been brought forth, or born again, we would say, by the word of truth. That was just a few verses ago in verse 18. And last week in verse 21, James speaks of the same thing in a different way. He says, this is the implanted word. And again, it is supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And then our text also says that we must receive this word which is already implanted with meekness. The verse said, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And this is what James is saying. We are to be quick to listen to the word of God as it is read and proclaimed. And some theologians talk about this as the external word. And this external word, if you like, must resonate with that implanted word by which we have been brought forth. Supernaturally, of course, by the new birth through the Holy Spirit. The believer in whom the word is implanted is called also to hear and to listen and to obey that external word which agrees with that implanted word. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself within the believer is witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And what does our text emphasize today? It is this, that to respond to that external word, you are right now listening to God's external word with passive hearing or without any visible response, is to be deceived with regard to the genuineness of your faith. That is what our text says. James says to think of ourselves spiritual simply because we hear, even eagerly, listen to religious instruction from the word, is to be delusional. That's what he's saying. It's to be deceived. No, you must put the word of God into practice. Not simply hear it, or do a little better, listen to it. While both those things are good and necessary, however, obedience to the word of God is the true test of spirituality. Thus our sermon today, doers, not hearers only. And James is very practical. And I hope that there's one thing you learn in this book of just Epistle of James is that put it into practice. I told my wife, I think I'm going to call this sermon, Talk is Cheap, Money Buys the Whiskey. But I'm not going to call it that. This is what we want to consider today in two simple points. And it's not a difficult text, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will press these things to our consciences so that we don't become fat little babies who never do anything. We love to listen. We love to hear that we will become those who do. We consider in the first place the complacent hearer. The complacent hearer. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word, does not, and I'm not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently, he doesn't just glance, he looks intently. Oh, I've got a little Marilyn Monroe beauty spot here. I look in the mirror because I often cut it with my razor, and then I walk away and I forget that I actually have a little thingy here on my lip. That's what that man is like. So what is the complacent hearer? Two things our text says about a complacent hearer. He's a hearer, but not a doer. He's a hearer, but not a doer. Though he hears, he does not listen. And perhaps he also listens, and he may love hearing, and he loves biblical knowledge. He loves to affirm the truth. He watches his doctrine closely. He's a good student of God's word. But that accumulated knowledge that he has, this reluctant hearer, never drops 18 inches into his heart. The truth that he hears and loves to hear never drops 18 inches from his mouth, first door on the left, into his heart, but sits in his brain, growing and growing. And I love bread. And my brother, you know who he is, bakes wonderful bread. And I got this illustration from him. I got permission to use it too. It's kind of like the oven, yeast in a batch of dough, bread being prepared, sitting there growing with the yeast, and it starts small and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, waiting for the baking. That's what it's like to be a hearer and not a doer, that it may fulfill the purpose for which it was made, to be useful, to alleviate hunger, but the oven never gets switched on. And it keeps growing and fermenting until it's useless, and you can't even call it bread dough anymore. So is that man. He deceives himself into thinking that it is useful. And like my illustration, James gives us this illustration, a picture from everyday life to illustrate the meaningless of being a hearer and not a doer of God's word. He's like a man who looks intently into a mirror, his natural face, and he walks away and he forget what he looks like. Brothers and sisters, if we hear the word of God, and it teaches us many things. It teaches us about our remaining sin, and we see that remaining sin in our lives. When we're tempted to sin, the scriptures teach us to recognize, as James says, that this comes from within, our own passions and desires. And now what you must do is fiercely fight it and resist it. Put it to death, flee every appearance of evil. Mortify your sin, as we observed last week. You remember the verse, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We hear the truth. We love the truth week after week. And we get fatter and fatter with the truth, like that yeast and that dough rising. And we walk away, we forget what our face looks like in the mirror. If we don't use it, we don't switch the oven on. The scriptures warn us to expect various trials for the strengthening of our faith, for the developing of steadfastness. And though we agree So because of this outcome, what does James say? This is what you must do when you face trials of many kinds. Be prepared for it. It's going to come. James says, count it as pure joy. That's what you must do. Count these trials and afflictions and ongoing difficulties as pure joy. But the complacent hearer, when the trial comes, when infirmity strikes and doesn't leave me, we become downcast. Persecution flares up. Oh, I'm having a terrible time, and we become depressed. And we say in our hearts, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Everything's going wrong. The Lord's forgotten me. We grumble against God, and we're overtaken by the trials. And joy flies out the window. I'm being punished. And when the temptations to sin come, we fall into sin because it's the devil. Because it's the world and the enticements of the world. I was helpless against these. I had no chance. He forgets what his face looks like in the mirror. That man is a hero of a word, but refuses to be a doer, like a batch of dough with all the right ingredients, but he refuses to turn on the oven. He looks at the mirror intently, and if he gets what his face looks like before he's left the bathroom. Consider the explanation that Jesus gave of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures it for a while. When tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word, he immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it is proved unfruitful. He never becomes a doer of the word. The complacent hearer is not a doer of the word. James says, secondly, about such a man, he's delusional. He's a delusional man. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And you'll be surprised how often we deceive ourselves into thinking that something is all right, into thinking that something is good when it is not, into thinking that that sin is not that big a deal, but it is. We must not only hear the word of God, we must listen to it. My wife, sorry to use the illustration, but my wife, my kids got mad when I ever used them for an illustration. When she's watching a movie on TV, she gets absolutely caught up in it, and I'll turn to her and ask her a question. And this is my response. Like, Robin, I heard you, but she didn't listen. She had to repeat the question every time. We must follow through our listening and our hearing with obedience to it. We must practice it. We must become doers of the word. The man who hears but does not listen to it will accomplish the opposite of the intended purpose, the intended end, which we looked at last week. The anger of man does not lead to the righteousness of God. He will be the man that is slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to become angry when we remain hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Therefore, the righteousness of God is not accomplished. Our sanctification is not accomplished. We are to hear and listen to the word of God. We ought to immediately receive the spoken word that resonates with that implanted word by which we were brought forth by the Holy Spirit. We must do this. Why? Hear this, my brother, said James. Let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? Because there are so many voices talking to us. there are so many voices saying different things. The world says to us, chill out. Pursue this. Enjoy this. Pursue riches. Follow this path. Little passion, little pleasure. The world lies. Brothers and sisters, the devil says all the time, did God really say? Seriously, that is not so bad. The devil says, follow your passions. They're natural. It's part of your nature. Is it really sin? Eat, drink, and be merry. There is time for God later. Enjoy the pleasures that life has to offer you now. Put yourself first for once. The devil, too, is a liar. He's a deceiver and a liar from the beginning. Brothers and sisters, do not even listen to your own hearts, because deep down there is some remaining sin. Don't do what your heart tells you. It's not your fault. It's the way that you were raised. It's the wicked world that I lived in that I sometimes sin. The devil is stronger than I am. I can't resist him. This is a body of death. It's my remaining sin. It's not me. Brothers and sisters, your heart also lies. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Says the Old Testament scripture, Jeremiah 79, who can even understand it? You cannot trust any of these lying voices, but God's word is truth. God cannot lie. And if you do not listen to the word of God and obey it and put it into practice and become a doer, James says you deceive yourself and you're a delusional man. Brothers and sisters, this is a complacent hearer, content and comfortable with the word. It's describing a middle of the road, happy Baptist. It's content, comfortable with the word, even with my Christian duties. I like to do them. I attend faithfully. I hear. I come. I worship. I read. I pray. I give my tithes and offerings and a little bit extra every now and then. And we start to sound like the rich young man. All these I've done since my youth. All these I've done since my youth. I can tick them off for you. You lack one thing, was Jesus' answer to him. Go sell all you have and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. Brothers and sisters, this was a good man. He was a wealthy man. He was comfortable and moral. He was duty-bound, but he deceived himself. Do not confuse comfortable religious duties with true spirituality. Don't confuse knowledge and even love for the truth with obedience from the heart. That is what James is saying. Don't become fat little babies. I know the truth. I understand predestination, election. I understand the final perseverance of the saints. James says of such a person, as we'll see next week, unless he becomes a doer of the word, your religion is worthless. It's worthless. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Are you a complacent hearer and not a doer? The word of God says you deceive yourself. You're delusional. Secondly, and finally, just 2 points this afternoon, the complete hearer, the complete hearer. Number two, what does a complete hearer look like? Again, straight from our text, consider 3 things that our text says about the complete hearer. First of all, 3 sub-points. One, he is grounded and perseveres in the truth. He is grounded and perseveres in the truth, verse 25a. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the one who's quick to listen to the word of God, and he's a hearer, he looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, continues to keep looking into the perfect law, the law of liberty. And brothers and sisters, the law of the Lord indeed is perfect, converting the soul, the psalmist says, and it's a law of liberty to the believer. For that which would condemn him, the law, has set him free through Christ Jesus from that law of sin and death. Why? Because Christ kept the law for me in my stead. That's why the psalmist in faith in God's promise can say, I love thy law. I meditate on it day and night. I can embrace it. I can love it. I am enabled by his spirit to obey it joyfully and willingly as it sanctifies me. He is grounded and perseveres in the truth. In contrast to the complacent hearer, James sets before us the complete hearer. That man of God, having been brought to faith by the word of truth, the word of life, is the one who's quick to listen to the external word as it is read and preached. But unlike the complacent hearer, he's not satisfied with just hearing and listening. Not only paying close attention, but he makes sure that that God-breathed out word is not just a knowledge of the truth, but it is truth that is useful and that is profitable for all things in life and practice. This morning from our study in the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, it is sufficient for all things in life and practice and doctrine. He is one who watches his life as well as his doctrine closely. He is the man whose life matches his profession. He studies the scripture to benefit from its application in life. And this gives him a philosophy of life, a worldview that recognizes God in all things. In him we live and move and have our being. It is the truth of God's word that he is grounded in to know God and himself and the Savior, who is the only way and the only life and the only truth and the only way by which we can come to the Father. And because he's grounded in the truth, he understands that all things are for my sanctification and for the glory of God. He takes these principles from the word of truth and he lives by them. And he applies them to his life. In short, we consider secondly, the complete hearer not only is grounded and perseveres in the truth, but he is simply a doer of the word, secondly. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer. What does a doer do? He acts. But a doer who acts. And brothers and sisters, it's much harder than what it sounds to be a doer of the word. It's much harder than simply hearing or even being a good listener. And a complacent religion is much more comfortable than the real Christian life, because this is one that involves effort and courage and discipline. These qualities are necessary to face the many trials that will come to you and to persevere through them. And this is what James is building up to. He started by saying you'd have trials. Consider pure joy because of the outcome. But this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. You're going to have temptations and you must fight and put them to death. These qualities are necessary to face these trials, to stand firm in steadfastness in that constant battle against the world and our own remaining sin, the flesh and the devil, when temptation to sin would overcome us. Brothers and sisters, it's not enough to just hear the word and pay attention to the word and to love the word, but we must become doers of the word. The one without the other is a delusion. It is self-deceit to think we are faithful simply because we hear and we listen and we believe the word of truth without practical Christianity. Well, the good news is this epistle doesn't stop there. James next week is going to actually tell us what this looks like, what the do of the word looks like and what we should actually do. And he's not just telling us here what we need to know and what we ought to do, but in the following verses, he will illustrate what this looks like in practice to become doers of the word. We will consider that, Lord willing, next time. And further good news here is that though it may be hard and an effort, in effect, to be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians says, brothers and sisters, we are able to do it. Why? Because of the implanted word in us. Because we continue to receive that external word meekly in our hearts. We can do this. We can say, I consider it pure joy, this terrible trial. And the world will think, are you crazy? You have this debilitating disease and you take joy in this? We can do it. And we can overcome sin and temptation when we think we could never do in and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's presence, Christ's spirit in our hearts. Christ's implanted word in us. He enables us to believe, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Brothers and sisters, our actions, our good works, our obedience to Christ Jesus and his word are not only required, but they are possible. And they will be accepted by the Father for Christ's sake. Romans 8 expresses it this way. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. How? By sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us. In our hearts. So we walk according to the so we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The fact is, we already, in this first chapter of James, up to now, are already told what a doer of the word is, and I hope you've seen this already. The spiritual application is already before us, that James has been developing. And I hinted at this a moment ago. Firstly, we know, we were told that there will be trials of various kinds that will come to this. Knowing this, how can I be a doer of the word? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. What's the alternative? Go into depression. Accuse God, accuse your neighbor, accuse your wife for the terrible things that are coming upon you. No, count it all joy, because God means it for good, because all things are for my sanctification. This is going to be a growing of my faith. This is going to be the development of steadfastness. And the providences, acknowledging that these providences of God in my life, both the dark ones, and the light ones come from his hand. For the strength in my faith develop steadfastness. That's why Paul can say. He wasn't talking about the good times. It's time for a party. I've turned 60, let's have a party. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Through the trial, through the difficulty, through the infirmity. This is what the believer can do. When you're faced with trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. It's a blessing and privilege that the believer has, a gift that no one else on earth possesses, to be able to rejoice in difficulties and infirmities, to share them and to bear one another's burdens. It's not just words, it's believing and knowing that God does indeed work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Secondly, the second application that is already before us in James when temptation and sin confront us every day. And every single one of you are in that category. It does. Temptation to sin, we fly off the handle, we speak evil of people, we gossip, we slander, we have wicked thoughts, sinful thoughts, whether it's thought or word or deed, mortify them. Mortify them. Resist them fiercely. Flee from them and flee to Christ who has died for our sin. And preach to yourself, how can I do this sin? For my Savior has died for my sin. How can I sin against grace? I must be and want to be holy as He is holy. So when I'm faced with temptation, I blank out that thought. I change the channel. And I switch my mind to whatever is true and honorable and just. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, it's commendable. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about your Savior who loved you and died for you. Brothers and sisters, it's a spiritual battle. And these things I must do to overcome in these little battles every day. God's Word in His Spirit gives me all the resources and strength to be a doer of God's Word in these spiritual battles. Brothers and sisters, don't be a complacent hearer, but a complete hearer. One who's grounded in and perseveres in the truth. One who's a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. These are the things that please God. And I know, brothers and sisters, I have never been in a church that has been so full of doers of the Word. And the love that is shown to the sick and the infirm and the pregnant and the mother with lots of kids and the help that is offered and the prayers that are offered up and encouragements between brothers and sisters. I'm not just saying bad people not being doers of the Word. We are doers of the Word. And the Scriptures commend us for this. And the Scriptures encourage us to do this, to persevere in the truth and in well-doing, in being doers of the Word. Keep doing what you are doing. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be a fat baby. We are not. We become doers of the Word. And this brings us to consider in the third and final place about this hearer. And that is the complete hearer. The complete hearer enjoys the smile of God upon his life. The complete hearer, the man who does the Word of God, enjoys the smile of God upon his life. If you have a young son who's 13-year-old and he's excelling in something, and you just say, son, you've done so well. It's incredible. Have you seen that child? A little encouragement to my daughters when they were growing up for an achievement academic. Oh, a child loves to bask in the approval of the father and of the mother. Brothers and sisters, a complete hearer has the approval and the blessing, the promise of blessing upon his life. The one who looks into the perfect law, verse 25, the law of liberty, and perseveres in that, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. What about him? He will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed. But you have so many infirmities. But I rejoice. You will be blessed. I have temptations that come to me. And I fight them off. I flee them. And I run to Christ. He will be blessed. That is what pleases your Heavenly Father. Obedience. Obedience. Willing obedience to the will, to the commands of Christ. Brothers and sisters, these things invite the blessing of God on your life. The Scriptures promise this. Don't be delusional. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that hearing is enough without doing. Don't forget what your face looks like the minute you walk away. Take the truth of God's word and make it practical. It's something Pastor Sam and I were talking about. He attended a conference recently where he was reminded of the old saying, improve on every sermon. Improve on every sermon. Preach to yourself. Take the word and say, in my life, how do I become a doer of the word? In what way am I complacent? And apply it to your life. Write them on your heart. Put them on your notebooks and be a doer. Don't leave these spiritual truths behind when you walk out the door, but take them to do battle with on Monday morning. Even when your boss is in a foul mood, even when you're late because you've had a flat tire on the way. Brothers and sisters, it is your shield. It is your sword. It's your breastplate. It's your shoes. It's your helmet of salvation. Each piece put on with prayer. You're going to do battle. Take your battle equipment with you. The word of God, receive with meekness. The implanted word, as you hear it, as it resonates with that truth and say, this is what I must do when I'm faced with trials. Put them on with prayer. Put that risen bread dough in the oven and make it useful. Do these things that leads to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. These things done and acted upon bring a smile of God onto his precious sheep. And we are one of those sheep. The blessed man is grounded in the truth, and he unwaveringly takes this precious word of life that with which he was brought forth, that was implanted in him, and he perseveres in receiving it with all meekness, and he becomes a doer of the word. That's all that is required. And you know, the psalmist knew about this. When I was finishing this, I thought, well, how do we finish this off? And I thought of Psalm 1. It's talking about the same thing. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. He's not a complacent man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is grounded in the truth. He is like a tree planted firmly by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. In all that he does, he prospers. Does everything go well with him? No. He has heavy and dark providences like all of us. But he prospers because he believes all things are for my sanctification. All things are for my good. All things are for the glory of my Redeemer. And the psalmist knew this as he spoke prophetically, and he lived experientially in his life by faith in the promise of God. Brothers and sisters, know this. Just be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only, and so deceive ourselves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of truth. How we thank you that you have brought us forth by this word implanted in us. How we thank you for your spirit that enables us in the darkest of trials to rejoice in you, because you are our Savior and our God, and you sanctify us by your truth. Oh Lord, teach us to love righteousness. Teach us to resist and hate our sin. And teach us to flee every appearance of evil and flee to our Savior every day, where there is forgiveness and help in the word of truth by his Spirit. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.